you were elected governor, what were some of the big changes that, if you could sum up briefly, that you'd make right off the out the door?
Obviously, jobs is the most important thing. We need a governor who will focus like a laser on making Illinois the most competitive environment for private capital investment so we can put our people back to work in the private sector. We've talked about how important fiscal responsibility is, workplace reforms, educated workforce and reforms there, as well as ending the culture of corruption and giving people confidence in our state.
You said private investment, but you've talked about, you talked today about a public investment program, a 30-year infrastructure program.
Right.
Do you see that as being part of your job creation program?
Absolutely. Businesses have to know that they can get their goods and services to the marketplace. And as great as our geographical presence is in this nation, we need to make sure that we maintain the value of our road, river, and air. What we have to move away from is these political gimmicks by election cycle into a permanent program where we know that we're going to be reinvesting level dollars, adjusted for inflation, each and every year, but putting ourselves on a permanent maintenance cycle, ensuring the safety and the viability of that infrastructure.
Would this include more than transportation infrastructure?
Well, primarily what we're talking about here is rail, river, road, and air. But there's no question that we have to work with our telecommunications industry in understanding the value and the importance of broadband and other forms of transportation when it comes to information technology.
Well, I ask because, and you mentioned this during your presentation, Western's been waiting for years for money for a performing arts center. If you were governor, would you release that money, or where would you come up with the money to finally get this done?
Well, it's already been announced, and the money is there in the bond program. Why the governor hasn't released it? He should release it. It should be released to holding Western Illinois hostage at the expense of the students, the faculty, and the community isn't fair.
Do you think that money will be released this year before the November election?
I can't say what the governor's motivation is, but clearly he's in a political mode. If he's waiting to release it for political purposes, that's wrong. But I'm going to do everything I can to put pressure on that Western Illinois be treated fairly and that money be delivered as promised.
If it's not released this year and you're elected governor, would you provide money for the Performing Arts Center for Macomb?
It's my understanding that it's in the bond program and it should be here, and we need to live up to that commitment, so the answer is yes.
Quick question for you. What would you say mainly separates you from your other the candidates running against you? What is the big stance that you're taking that you disagree with them on?
We need a governor who's going to hit the ground running with bold initiatives right away. Debate after debate, they talk about creating a commission for this, a commission for that, a study group for this. We don't have time to wait. We need someone who can hit the ground running, who doesn't need on-the-job training. We've laid out bold initiatives that immediately deal with the problems facing Illinois and moving our state forward. That's one. I think the ideology, in their cases, they think that high tax rates are better for the state of Illinois, when I believe lower taxes, less government, empowering the families and businesses to keep more of their money driving our economy is better. And so there's a clear and defining issue on taxes that differentiate us. I think one of the other issues, I have the experience of running before. I built a base in the state. It's important that we win this race and bring downstate balance, partisan balance, to the leadership or the elected officials of the state. I bring that.
As you said before, you have running experience, and you said your opponents don't. You won 98 out of 102 counties, yet you came a few thousand votes short. What do you think is going to go differently this upcoming election?
Well, the ability I had to build that base. After the primary last time, I started with 150,000 votes, and we got to nearly 1.8 million. So we've got a head start in that process. I would also tell you that Pat Quinn's failures and the deception that he has created because of promises he made and did not keep, promises he made during the campaign, didn't keep in this election, have greatly disappointed the people who supported him last time. I don't think their faith and trust is going to be in him this time. And as the person who ran against him and was honest with the people in the election, it's helped further build our strength. We've also had an opportunity to reach out, not just in the 98 counties I won, but also in the counties I didn't, build relationships, particularly with black church communities as well as Latino communities that are helping us build a better, stronger base in the state.
Okay, now McDonough County is a big farming community. Do you have any initiatives that will kind of protect farmers and this economy, or, you know, any plans for them?
Well, agriculture is the biggest business in Illinois. So maintaining our relationships with other businesses like ADM and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange are very much part of what I want to do. Bringing more industries to Illinois is an important part. I want to revitalize the manufacturing industry. If we can bring value to the agricultural products to be used in this state in a manufacturing sense, whether it be livestock or whether it be other purposes, rather than shipping our commodities off to another state and have it manufactured product there, we add value to those products, and we need a governor who's going to focus on adding value to our commodities. But infrastructure is also an important part of it. Wherever the farmer is going to transport their grain, we need to make sure we've got a viable infrastructure system so that we have the most efficient and effective way to do that. Energy is another resource. We have the opportunity to make Illinois energy independent. We passed new fracking laws. Those need to be put in place. We need to work to make sure we protect our environment, but we also need to make sure we work to maximize the benefit we have from the energy that lies below the soil. As we found out this year, with a very wet late crop, propane was in high demand. Now, unfortunately, with a horrendous winter cold, propane is also in high demand, and we've seen what that shortage can create, and prices go up. The more we can do to provide low-cost energy to farmers, help keep the cost down for their product, the more we do to provide Illinois destination for those crops adds value. That's what I want to focus on.
What are some of the taxes that you, you're in support of right now that you want to implement?
Well, what I've broadly outlined is a demand that we give the tax cut that only families and businesses have been promised after Pat Quinn and the Democrats forced a 67% tax increase down on them. That program failed. They promised us they'd pay bills down. They didn't. We know we've lost over 200,000 jobs in the last 5.5 years. It didn't help that. Every economist in the country will tell you that if you can reduce tax burden, it'll create economic opportunity. We need a governor who's going to focus on that.
All right, and my final question would be, is it true that you're trying to revisit a tax that was tried to be implemented back in 2011 that you tried to? I happened to read that somewhere earlier this morning on a 5% tax increase.
I've never talked about a tax increase. I've never been a proponent of increasing the tax burden. I've worked to reduce the tax burden on families and businesses, and I will continue to do so.
All right, well, thank you.
Thanks.
If you reduce the state income tax, how would you make up that revenue to pay bills and do other things the state needs to do?
Well, exactly why pension reform was so important. The most recent estimate has the cost of letting the tax expire in the first year being somewhere between $1.3 and $1.6 billion. Pension reform will give us $1.3 billion in the first year, which gives us the resources to offset that. So we've got a good opportunity. That message, I think, will foster at least 100,000 jobs in the next 12 months, which creates another bottom-line positive effect of over $1 billion to our budget for every 100,000 jobs, if not more. So this successful passage of pension reform gives us the resources we need to and then build on those successes. When I talk about a permanent elimination of the personal income tax, I'm talking about something that would take probably at least 10 years. But if we limit our spending to a level of inflation plus population growth, we'll be able to take revenues over and above that and use that to further pay down the personal income tax, and that's my goal as governor.
Isn't it kind of shaky ground to rely on savings from pension reform when there are lawsuits over it already and who knows what's going to happen?
Well, I'm using it and giving it back to the taxpayers. And I do believe the pension reform will be withheld. But if it's not, then we'll have to look at how we're going to raise it back. But we're not spending the money under my plan. We're giving it back to the taxpayers.
During your presentation, you said you'd like to see a different process for drawing legislative maps. Do you support the proposal that's out there right now about yes for independent maps?
Absolutely, and I encourage everyone to sign the petition, make sure we get on the ballot, and make sure we pass it.
You
spoke some on the elimination of the State Board of Education, and it seemed a bit of a discussion of the distribution of empowerment between the regional boards of education and also the governor's office. In addition to any potential cost savings that comes with the elimination of that sort of bureaucracy, as regional offices are combining because they're strained for resources and things like that, how do you really see that at the local level contributing to the benefit of...
What I want to see is a downsized department, save fives of millions of dollars, that could go to the classroom, cut the bureaucracy. I want to use regional office of education to deliver those services, which I think they're well equipped to do so, particularly when I combine them with community college districts working with that. So the line of involvement would be that every regional office would be coterminous with a community college district, and every community college district would be coterminous with a high school and grade school districts, so that they could channel. Most of those are set up in economic areas as well, so they could also channel the curriculum to meet the economic interests of the community for the workforce demands. So it's a lot of wins in this situation, saving money, eliminating bureaucracy, empowering parents at both the community college level and the high school and grade school levels to design and use the resources they have for the best interest of the student and not some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. or Springfield.
Would you like to see the K-12 school funding formula redone so there's less of a reliance on property taxes?
Absolutely, and we need to have a real plan to make it more equitable. Right now, the Chicago public school system is receiving about a $900 to $1 billion windfall that we've outlined as Senate Republicans that's not equitable to all school districts. We need a program that's going to create equity in the funding of education. The Chicago politicians have maneuvered the formula in such a way that they've been able to receive that benefit without any legislative oversight or approval. And we need a governor who's going to bring equity to funding. That windfall costs taxpayers outside of Cook County money, and it costs our children opportunity in the classroom. That's not fair.
That was an interesting sound.
I hear it when it goes off. Anything else?
Higher education funding. This university has seen its funding levels drop over the past decade. How do you get it to level off and start to increase again so the university can do some of the things it should be doing?
Well, the Chicago Democrats who've been in charge have ignored the needs of higher education. It's understandable if you think about their parochial interest. Our institutions of higher education lay outside of their eyesight. And so we need a governor who will focus on all the interests and hold up the value of that. We also need a governor, though, who will make sure that we continue to use the power of MAP grants for Illinois students to attend Illinois universities. Governor Quinn in the past has talked about cutting MAP grants. That is a lost leader in terms of reducing our ability to keep our students in our state and educating them here to be part of our workforce eventually. So as governor, I'll be a huge advocate of MAP grants and using them to empower Illinois residents to stay in Illinois institutions. But we do need to make sure we focus on public education as well. And as governor, I'll reinstitute that side of the equation that's been ignored by Pat Quinn.
What about the funding for the institutions? Where would you come up with money? Would you make cuts someplace? Would you enhance revenues? What would you try to do?
I think what we've got to do is work with the legislature to have a re-emphasized focus on higher education. Has to be part of our priority. Most of the money is going to come through job growth. I don't see cuts in other areas of the state budget to increase funding for higher education, but I do see a higher priority on higher education as we move forward.